As the master of the monologue, Spalding Gray says he knows when he's ready to stop creating and start performing.
When the rhythms reach that point of lyricism, that's when I consider the piece finished. I'm interested in music and, you know, the lyrical quality of the piece, because it becomes hypnotic.
The 60-year-old performer is working on a new monologue, but he's having trouble figuring out an ending. In the meantime, Gray is performing his Swimming to Cambodia monologue for the first time since the 1980s. John Kalish reports.
Spalding Gray is perhaps best known for Swimming to Cambodia. It is Gray's most political and complex work, ping-ponging from a history lesson on the Cambodian genocide to an encounter on a train with a stranger whose job is to launch nuclear missiles, to the movie set of The Killing Fields, which was shot in Thailand.
And it was the first day off in a long time, and the Thai waiter is running to jump over hedges to bring us more cluster beer, and all of a sudden the waiter trips, falls, the cluster beers fall and explode on the cement by the pool, and the waiter looks up with a great smile and says, "Sorry, sir, we've just run out of cluster."
In his Swimming to Cambodia monologue, Gray sits behind a simple wooden table in his trademark plaid flannel shirt with a microphone and a glass of water in front of him. Two maps of Cambodia and Indochina hang in the background as he explains the ways of the murderous Khmer Rouge guerrillas.
5 years of bombing, a diet of lizards, barks, bugs, a little Maoist doctrine with a touch of Rousseau, and maybe an invisible cloud of evil that circles the world and lands on places like Cambodia, Iran, New York, Afghanistan, set up the worst homeogenocide in modern history.
That allusion to the World Trade Center tragedy is one of the ways Gray has updated his best-known work. In a program note for the monologue, Gray says that the story of the Cambodian genocide deserves to be retold in these trying times. Nevertheless, Gray says he's ambivalent about re-examining a negative chapter in American history.
We're in a time right now where everyone is flying the American flag. It's a very patriotic time. We're celebrating our firemen and policemen and National Guard and all the rest of it. That's a very different time, and maybe this will work in juxtaposition to that.
Spalding has always been there at the right place at the right time in an odd way in this culture.
Jim Leverett is a professor at the Yale School of Drama who has followed Gray's career for more than 20 years.
His experience expands somehow into a general cultural experience that appears to be effortless.
But now, Spalding Gray has a big problem. He's been in a state of great emotional duress ever since he moved out of his beloved house in Sag Harbor, Long Island, in September. He didn't go down to Ground Zero right away to gather impressions of the World Trade Center scene, impressions he feels were crucial for his next monologue.
I saw some firemen on the boat, on the ferry, that had, you know, saved a survivor, someone had survived, and they were very high from that. If I was more open and not shut down around the house, you know, I would have gone up to them and said, "Hey, what's happening down there?" I would have been my old curious self. But I was kind of like shut down like a clam, you know, because I felt very stunned by the move which had just happened on the day of September 11th.
Gray feels first-hand observations in the immediate aftermath would have provided the perfect counterpoint for what he's working on now. Gray had his own personal crisis to deal with. Last June, he was in a horrific car crash in Ireland. Gray had to have his hip bone reinforced with a metal plate and underwent a 5-hour operation to have his skull reconstructed. Now he's working on a monologue about it.
I still keep thinking that I'm not me. That the Spalding Gray that was there just seconds before the accident will soon come back. And I begin to feel the depression setting in. And I don't know who to speak to. I don't know if the Irish acknowledge depression. I say to the nurse, "I'm a bit blue. You know, I wonder if you can do anything for me, if there's a psychiatric department here." "Oh, Mr. Gray, and what are you blue about then?" I said, "Well, you know, I have a stainless steel plate in me I didn't have 2 days ago. I feel a bit like the Bionic Man." She said, "Oh,
Oh, I don't think an Irishman would give that a second thought. You Americans are too health conscious.
In this one, I wanted to start out in the hospital as a victim and then rush down to the World Trade Center to help with the victims there, to try to get away from myself as victim, you see? And I saw how clearly and smoothly that could have gone.
Gray hasn't been able to imagine completing the accident monologue, but Kathy Russo, Gray's companion and a partner in the talent agency that manages him, is confident that eventually he'll get to it.
I have never, in my 12 years with him, seen him do material this raw and have it work so well in that early, early stage. He will find his way into the ending, if that means the World Trade Center or not, you know. It's just going to take time, and he's going to find his way to an ending.
Spalding Gray will do material about the accident in upcoming performances of his Interviewing the Audience show, his Morning, Noon, and Night monologue, and Swimming to Cambodia, which begins a one-week run at the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco today. In the coming months, he'll perform Swimming to Cambodia in Boston, Los Angeles, and Chicago. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.